we have together. Amen. Isn't God good? I said, isn't he good? Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. I too want to welcome each and every one of you that's here tonight. Some of you may have driven through the rain. I'm not sure, but we sure had some. But nevertheless, I'm glad you're here. Praise God. Those of you that's joined us online, we're glad to have you. Amen. And let's open our hearts up, okay, to receive from the Lord. Is that all right? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Father, I thank you for everyone that has gathered here this evening. Father God, we've gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we welcome his presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, this is your service. It's not ours. It's yours. We're here to please you and to do your will. Therefore, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because we don't take credit for any of it. Hallelujah. But we give you the glory for all the wonderful things that you are doing and will do in our lives. So we thank you for it. Thank you, Father God, for the anointing to minister your word. And we give you the glory and the praise for that. Father, I pray that everyone will have open ears and open heart to receive the word tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. I think you know in your Bible where we're going tonight, right? What book? Amen. Can somebody tell me? Jude, yeah. The book of Jude. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. One of the short books, but it's a powerful book. Glory to God. And we've talked about, we've covered a number of things. Hallelujah. We've talked about Cain. Balaam and Korah. And let me tell you something. It's the Word of God is better than any newspaper you ever read. It's more up to date. Matter of fact, the newspaper and the news media can only inform you what has happened and what someone says may happen. But the Word of God tells us what God says is going to happen. And if God says it's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Praise God. And not only that, the Word of God tells us as believers what we need to watch out for. Amen? Tells us things that's going to happen before they ever happen. I tell you what, if we'll stay in God's Word and stay in God's presence, we can know some things ahead of time. Hallelujah. That way, when they happen, it don't surprise us, because God already told us, either in his word or by his spirit, that it's going to happen. So when it happened, we already knew, hey, you know, we might not know the day or the time necessarily, but we know if God says it, it's going to happen. So we are issued warnings and cautions not to be taken in, not to be misled, not to be deceived, but knowing what's about to happen and what we need to watch out for. And let me tell you something else. Also, not only is the Bible futuristic, in other words, it tells us of things to come. Of course, it talks to us about the present, but it also reminds us of the past. Now that's a good thing. Now, we are not to be in bondage to our past and the people that we used to be before we came to Christ. And of course, we know that the enemy will try to do that if you let him. You know, you've given your life to the Lord, you've repented of the way you used to live, and you're living for him now, living for God now. And sometimes the enemy will try to come back and cause you to feel condemned, guilty about the way you used to live. And so that's not what I'm talking about. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that washed away my sin. There is power in the blood. Isn't that right? Let me say that again. There is power in the blood of Jesus, who has washed me clean, and you too, if you have received him. Praise God. Amen. So he don't want us living in the past under condemnation and feeling guilty about how we used to be. What he wants us to do, to walk in what? Newness of life. Walk in newness of life. We have a new life in Christ Jesus. But now what God does do, though, and we see it very clearly in his word, he'll take us back into the past and let us look at mistakes that others made so that we don't make the same mistakes. Amen? Yeah, I mean, David was a great man, wasn't he? Amen. Yeah, he was a great man, but he made some terrible mistakes. And God did not hide his mistakes. But God forgave him of his sins. But it's still written in Scripture for our admonition that we don't do the bad things that they did. It's for our learning. Amen. I've made this statement before, and I'll make it again. I would much rather learn from somebody else's mistake than having gone and made the same mistake myself. Amen. Amen. It's okay if you are sharing with someone, praying with someone, ministering to someone, to let them know, listen, I just want to caution you. I've gone down the same road that you're heading down now. Now, see, you're not saying that out of condemnation. You know you are free from it. You are saying it to help that individual not to make the same mistake that you made. Amen. This is a mistake I made. This is a bad decision that I made. I want you to learn from my mistake so that you don't make the same mistake that I made. Hallelujah. And that's the way the Bible approaches the past. Look at the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. I mean, he was hauling saints to jail and hunting them down and everything. And he tells us about it in Scripture, what he used to be, but he wasn't in bondage to how he used to be. You're listening to me. He wasn't in bondage to it. He was a free man. He was a free man. But what he taught to help others not to make the same mistake. Hallelujah. Are you still here? And so we see here in the book of Jude that he's talking about some folks. He's talking about the past, some things that was done in the past. For example, Cain, Balaam, Korah. That's past, right? So why are we reading about it? So we can learn from it. So that we can learn from it. Praise God. Amen. So we see from this book that we are to learn from the mistake of others. And not only that, we learn to be cautious and alert. Because there are still Cains out there today. There are still Balaams today. There are still Korahs today. So we want to be alert and sharp. Let me tell you something. God wants us, and we're going to Jude here just in a minute, but I want to tell you something. Listen to me good. We are believers, amen? And we are to walk in love towards one another. Am I correct? I am correct. That is the word of God. We are to walk in love towards one another. And we are called sheep. We are the sheep of his pastor. But just because we are sheep, just because we're called to walk in love, and we are, that does not mean we shut our brain down. God has called us to be wise, to be sharp. Because if you're not, the devil's going to take advantage of you. Because he hadn't changed his tactics. If he tempted Jesus, he's going to tempt you. If you are the Son of God, like you say you are, turn these stones into bread. Well, if you're a Christian, like you say you are, do this, do that, do the other. We have to be wise and sharp in dealing with people. You still here? You follow me? Stand with me. We got to be sharp. We can't be gullible just because we're Christians, just because we're saved. We don't swallow everything that comes down the pipe. We filter it through the Word of God. We check it through the Word of God. We check our own spirits. Because we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. Am I right? Amen. Amen. Are y'all getting anything out of this so far? Sometimes you can know right on the inside of you. I can't put my finger on it, but something just ain't right about this. Or something just ain't right about what she said or he said. Something just is not, you know, I'm not quite sure what it is, but something just ain't right. If you get that feeling on the inside, let me ask you a question. And I'm trying to get back here, but I just, glory to God. If you are handed some food, I just use that as an example, or some drink, and all of a sudden you don't feel real good about it, or you don't eat it or drink it anyway, now I'm just using that as an example. We're living in a time now when we need to, of course, be full of the Word of God, but also, I like the way Brother Kenneth E. Hagin used to say it. He said, we need to be God inside-minded, knowing that the Spirit of God is living on the inside of me. Why is He there? One of the reasons the Holy Spirit is there, Jesus told us, is to lead us and to guide us, right? Amen. To lead and to guide, as well as show us some things to come. But sometimes when we do, right on the inside, we don't feel comfortable about something, but we do it anyhow, and usually it costs us. Usually it costs us. I've been there before and I've done that. Probably you have too. Having that check on the inside has actually cost me some money. When on the inside, God was trying to tell me, leave that alone, don't bother with that. But you think, well, you know, they're nice people. Well, we can walk in love, but we don't have to be deceived. Because if someone's trying to deceive you, they're not coming to you acting ugly, are they? Because that's a dead giveaway. They're going to be nice. Try to say all the right things. But you have to look on the inside. Ask God for wisdom. Because the Bible plainly tells us that the devil roams about as sheep, excuse me, as wolves, as a wolf, in whose clothing? Sheep's clothing. Sometimes we can get carried away with the outfit that we totally miss what the outfit's covering. Glory be to God. Now, I didn't plan to say all that, folks, but glory be to God anyway. But now let's get back to Jude. That's what he is warning the church about, that we are not taken by those who want to use us, cause us to do ungodly things, live in ungodly ways. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so I think I left off last week We were talking about, I think we went to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. We won't go there today, but I let me read the 14th verse to you. I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation and then the Amplified Classic, and then we'll move on. But listen to what he tells us, and I read this to you last week, but he says, solid food is for those who are mature. This is the New Living Translation. Who have trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Isn't that what I just said? Amen. And then do what's right. Praise God. The Amplified Classic says, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food is for full-grown men or women, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary either to divine or human law. Are you still there? Amen. All righty. Now, drop down to verse 14 of the book of Jude. It says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Glory to God. Aren't you glad Jesus is coming back? Amen. Glory to God. He's coming back one day, and he's going to straighten this whole mess out. And we coming back with him. Says 10,000s of his saints. I believe that includes not only the believers, but also God's holy angels as well. Bless the name of the Lord. And verse 15, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in ungodly way, in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Praise God. But let's read on. But these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remembering the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in what time? What time? In the last time. Or you can say last days. Who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Glory, glory, glory. God lets us know some things ahead of time. I told you that, didn't I? It's through his written word. And listen at this. It's through his written word. And of course, we know in our own inner witness, we can know. But sometimes it's even through his servants, the prophets, and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bible. You can just hold your place there at Jude. But turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. First Thessalonians, chapter 5. And I love the instructions that the Word of God gives us here. Now, I know in the last election in 2020, you know, there's some prophecies that went forth about who was going to be elected and that sort of thing that didn't come to pass. Okay, and the faith of some folks were shaken because of that. But I like what the Word of God tells us here in 2 Thessalonians, 5th chapter. First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Thank y'all. Drop down to verse 20. What does it say? Do not, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, do not despise prophecies. Do not despise prophecies. Just because somebody missed it don't mean we're to just say, well, prophecy is not for the day and just throw it in the trash. No. The Bible said, do not despise prophecies. Right? That's verse 20. But that's not all it says. Look at verse 21. Read it out loud. Amen. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Test all things. Hold fast to that is good, that is true, that lines up with the Word of God, that you know is true right on the inside of you. You know it's true. You are to hold on to that. We all live in an earthen vessel, don't we? Huh? And we can make mistakes. Matter of fact, I just made one, and it was my head, not my heart. Everybody looking up. What? I just told you to go to 2 Thessalonians when I really meant to tell you 1 Thessalonians, right? I wasn't trying to mislead you, but because I'm human, I gave you the wrong book. And I appreciate y'all correcting me on that. Amen. See, there's, and I don't have the time to go into it tonight, but there's really a difference between the New Testament prophet and the Old Testament prophet. Remember, I told you Sunday that in Old Testament times, before Jesus came, and really not just before he came, but before he went to the cross, died, and rose again from the dead, went into heaven, sprinkle the holy vessels with his holy blood. People were not born again as we are today. The Holy Ghost, the prophets, the Holy Ghost would come upon the prophets, and the prophets would prophesy what God said. But even in Old Testament times, there were false prophets. Even in Old Testament times, there were false prophets. And matter of fact, in Old Testament time, if you were discovered to be being a false prophet, well, you were in big trouble. You could lose your very life. But those folk weren't born, they were God's people, those that obeyed God, trusted God. They were God's people, but they were not born again like you and I are today. God said in his word, he said, I want to dwell in them. I want to walk in them. I want to be their God, and they be my people. God's heart. Let me let you in on something. God's heart is to dwell on the inside of us. No wonder David had to say, and it talks about it in Hebrews 2, what is man? He couldn't figure it out. What is man that you are mindful of him? What are we that God himself, Jesus Christ, God's Son, God the Son, think about this, God the Son stepped down out of glory, came here to this earth to suffer and die for us. To him, to God, we were worth it. Now, he ain't doing that again, by the way. He won't need to. But he did it for mankind. He did it for us. Sometimes you just need to, listen, sometimes we just need to stop and just meditate on our salvation and what God has done. Created us. He wanted to fellowship with Adam. He wanted fellowship with Adam. Because of Adam's disobedience, he broke fellowship with God. But God wants to be on the inside of us, and that's where he is. Amen. Y'all excited about that? Glory to God. I am. I am excited about that. We have such wonderful salvation. But now here's what I'm getting at. In the Old Testament times, they didn't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them like we do today. So, but they couldn't hear from God like we do today. Each and every one of us that's born again, we can freely go before God. We can approach our Father. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may find grace, mercy, and all the help you need. You come to the throne of grace. Nobody, you don't have to send nobody on your behalf. You can come yourself. Amen. Jesus gave us the right to approach the holy throne of God. In the name of Jesus. We can do that ourselves. In Old Testament time, they didn't have that privilege. But the anointing of God would come upon the prophets. And the prophets and sometimes the priests and the kings, when the Holy Ghost would come upon them, they would tell the people what thus saith the Lord. They would tell the people what thus saith the Lord. And there were some great prophets, glory to God, that prophesied the coming of Jesus and many, many other things they prophesied. Amen. But the people had the law and they had the prophets. You hear me? They had the law and they had the prophets. Nowadays, we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. But the prophets today prophesy. They're still prophets today. Glory to God. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
There are apostles today. There are prophets today. There are evangelists today. There are pastors today. And there are teachers. All those offices is still active in the New Testament church. But the difference is the believers have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. For example, and you should know the Word of God. Now, if anybody prophesies something to you that go crosswise what the Word of God says, you automatically know, oh, this ain't God, because God's not going to contradict his own word. Amen. He's not going to contradict his own word. So we're told, and not only, let me say this also while I'm on this subject, there are prophets today, but you can also prophesy without being a prophet. It's called one of the gifts of the Spirit, right? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Amen. Any of you, God ever used you in the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom? Raise your hand. Amen. Raise it high. Amen. Now that, thank God for that. Now that don't make you a prophet, but the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you, right? Amen. You're baptized with the Holy Ghost, right? But we are told in the New Testament not to despise prophesying, but what are we to do? In other words, you just don't throw prophecies in the trash. You use the Word of God. You test all things by the Word of God and by your own inward witness also. Test all things and what? Hold fast to what? That is good. Because sometimes folk do miss it. Don't mean that they intend to, but sometimes they miss it. Or sometimes they may not be right completely in the lane. But if somebody miss it, you just don't throw the whole thing. You know, what's the old saying? You just don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, thank God for prophecies. Thank God for the prophets. Glory to God. And there's been prophecies given to me over the years by prophets. And some were not prophets, were not even in the fivefold ministry. They were just moving through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's told me things that I knew that was God, and I gave God the glory for it. Well, Pastor, what do you do if you're not sure? Nothing. I just set it. I like say it this way. I just set it up on the shelf. Because sometimes there's a time. There's time involved. Sometimes God will tell you things ahead of time, and you think it's, if you're not careful, you think it's for right now, and it may be a while. Oh, glory to God. It may be a while. Sometimes you need to pray over it. You need to pray over it. Now some things are very plain. Some things we don't even have to pray over. Sister Pat, somebody prophesied to you, say, kick your husband out and get you another one. Don't pray about that. You got a good man. Y'all still with? Sometimes you don't even need, you already know they missed it on that one. I mean, that's plain. You already know. But when you don't, just put it up on the shelf and pray about it. And that God will give you clarity on it so you'll know how to move. And then sometime you know, oh, praise God, this is God. I know it's God. It's, matter of fact, it's confirming what God has already been talking to me about. Sometimes you follow me? You know it's confirming what God's been talking to me about, and I know it's been God. Amen. And you knew it was God. It wasn't the devil trying to mess with your head or anything. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Where has the time gone? Wow. But I'm still here in 1 Thessalonians. I want to read to you, let's back up to verse 16. I think we'll close with these. There's some other things I wanted to share with you. But I'm just flowing here. Praise God. Verse 16 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Say it again.
Everything.
In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. I haven't finished, but I want to say something about that in everything. Now, if you're dealing with something in your body, you don't say, Lord, I thank you for this disease in my body. I just give you thanks. That's not what that's saying. Notice it says what? Read it again. It's on the screen. In other words, and Jude was talking about all this stuff that's going on. Listen, in the midst of everything, if you have a challenge going on in your body, if there's something going on in your family, or if there's something going on somewhere else, the Word of God is telling us right in the middle of it, you give thanks to God because He's delivering you out of it.
Amen.
You're not thanking God for it. You are thanking God through it.
Amen.
Did you hear what I just said? You're not thanking God for it because it didn't come from God. But you are thanking God through it because you know you have the victory through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If you're sick in your body, you can throw your hands up or lift your voice and say, Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I've already been healed. And I thank you, Father God, that I am free of this thing. I am free of this disease. Because Jesus himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. Or maybe you're in the midst of a financial situation. Just begin to thank God that he's delivering you out of it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not the thing is the will of God. It's the will of God that you give him thanks right on through it. Are y'all hearing me? I say, are you hearing me? In the midst of a storm, you thank God that when the storm is over, your house is still going to be standing. Yeah. You don't think, if it ain't from God, you don't thank him for it, but you do thank him through it, or in the midst of it, you thank him. You thank him. Because he's bringing you out. All glory to God. Let me finish reading this. And I'll probably touch on this again next week if the Lord says the same. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. And then again, it says, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to that. That is good. And the last verse I'm going to read tonight is, abstain from every form of evil. Because that will hinder your progress. Did you hear me? That will hinder your progress. That's the reason the children of Israel stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. It was never God's intention for them to stay out there that long. But they did. And as a matter of fact, the first crew didn't make it to the promised land. Thank God for Joshua, Caleb. We need to learn from that. In the wilderness, they should have been praising God continuously rather than griping and complaining and blaming Moses. I'm gonna close right here, but I want to say this in my closing. Because us pastors, shepherds, we have to be careful too. Because Pastor Moses didn't make it to the promised land. Because he got upset. Did something he shouldn't have done. Now, I don't know if any preachers are watching me or not. But you can't let the flock get under your skin to the point where you miss out on the promised land. And I'm not talking about heaven here. I'm talking about what God wants to do in your life here on the earth. Now, if you're born again, you're going to heaven. But just because you're a reverend don't mean you're going to make it, that you're going to get all that God has for you. Reverends have to keep a good attitude also. I'm just using the word reverend, pastors, bishops, whatever. We ought to keep a good attitude also. We got to live by the same biblical rules that we preach. Amen. Didn't I get an amen back behind me? Preacher. Yeah. Glory be to God. Were you blessed tonight? I didn't really know I was going quite in that direction that I went, but that's all right, ain't it? I want you folks to know before I come out here, one thing that's so important to me. I am not interested in coming out here standing before you, hollering at you, just giving you something. I want you to hear from God. You hear me? I mean that thing. Y'all keep praying for me. I mean that thing. This is not a game to me. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word that will never return void. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're watching us on the internet and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to extend that invitation to you right now. He loves you. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to this earth. Born in a stable, in a feeding trough. And God knew ahead of time that there would be no room for them in the end. That didn't catch him by surprise. But he still sent his son. And he came and he lived here in this earth, sin free. He never sinned. He gave his life, shed his blood, you and for me, so that we could be born again and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And he wants to save you right now. If you don't know him, he wants to save you. And all you have to do is invite him into your heart right now. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you came to this earth to die for me. And I believe that you died for me. And you were buried and you rose again on the third day. And you did it for me so that I could be born again. Jesus, I receive you right now. Come on, tell him this. Jesus, I receive you right now as my Lord and as my Savior. Forgive me for my sins. Thank you for washing me in your holy blood, setting me free. And now that I've received you by faith, I am a child of God. I have the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. I have eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, making me your child. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, contact us and let us know that you gave your life to Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And I want to welcome you to the family, into the family of God. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for those who gave their lives to Jesus. I don't know where they may be watching us from, but I pray, Father God, if they don't have one already, that they will find